want to thank you all for being here. I'm happy to be here this morning and happy to speak this morning. And it's been a while since I've talked here, but I'm glad to be here today, and I'm glad you're here today. As Joy mentioned, it's kind of dreary and wet outside, and I know that the love and the light inside of you brought you here this morning, and I appreciate that. Regarding Joy's comments about growing up in Unity, I sometimes hesitate and say, well, I'm going to introduce you to growing up in Unity, or people say that, and I always feel like I need to level set the expectations on that. It just means that I should say more often to myself, you know better. That's what that means. So we're talking about, this is the third Sunday of Advent, and I got to light this candle representing love. Got to ask them how to turn that on, so I'm glad I figured that out. As I mentioned, we are entering the third week of Advent, which means the coming of the Christ. The meaning of that for us today, however, does not refer to the birth of Jesus, but not only to the birth of Jesus, but also of the birth of the possibility for the Christ to be born anew in us. Each Sunday, for those who have been here last Sunday and the Sunday before, each Sunday a new candle is lit during this Advent season, four Sundays. And each candle represents a virtue of life. The first candle represents faith. The second candle represents peace. And the virtue of love, the power of love, is represented by the pink candle. We used to have a pink candle here. By the pink candle on the third Sunday of Advent, and it symbolizes baby Jesus. And this holy infant is a representation of unstoppable, unconditional love. And through the union of Joseph, the human father of Jesus, representing the intellectual part of our mind, and Mary, who represents compassion and pure intuition, the activity of our own emotional nature, this love of Christ can come into full expression in our world. It is by these means that Christ is indeed born anew in us. To prepare to celebrate this third Advent Sunday, let's get grounded in the definition of love, first by one of the co-founders of Unity, Charles Fillmore's revealing word. Now, this is pure Unity metaphysical meaning. And Charles Fillmore had a lot of depth in his writing. It's the pure essence of being. Love is the pure essence of being that binds together the whole human family. Of all the attributes of God, love is undoubtedly the most beautiful. In divine mind, love is the power that joins and binds in divine harmony and in the universe and everything in it. It is the great harmonizing principle known to man. Also, divine love is impersonal. Still quoting from Revealing Word. It is impersonal. It loves for the sake of loving. It is not concerned with what or who it loves, nor is it concerned with a return of love. It's an inner quality that sees good everywhere and in everybody. And it insists that all is good. And by refusing to see anything but good in people or in situations, it's a catalyst for that quality to appear in all things in spite of appearances. Now, I'm going to interject a little bit of current terminology right now. When they go high, scratch. When they go low, we go high with love. When they go low, we go high with love. Fillmore also says, love is the great harmonizer and healer. Divine love will adjust all misunderstandings and make your life and affairs healthy, happy, harmonious, and free. And so in Romans 13:10, it says, love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. So when we choose love and all the inherent power that comes with choosing love, with making that choice, everything good is possible. I can't think of a timelier subject right now and how appropriate given the current challenges and state of affairs in our society and in our community, politically, both politically and culturally, that we are facing now. But let me not digress yet. Now, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit. We all know the story in the Bible about Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus, but I want to set a biblical context. So when Mary returns home to Nazareth after visiting with Elizabeth, she now must tell Joseph and the family that she is with child. You can imagine the uproar that this caused in those times. She had shamed her husband as far as their cultural beliefs at that time. She'd shamed her family and her community outwardly. The optics, to say the least, were not good. This was major drama for them and not a cause to celebrate. Perhaps it was even worse that she had not returned. You know, similar to how when a problem pops up for us, we initially want to ignore it. We don't want to deal with it. We just wish it would go away, return to where it came from. Her family no doubt probably wanted the same thing, probably wanted her to leave town and fast. And there certainly would have been a major issue for Joseph. But Joseph, again representing wisdom, had a dream, and in which angels spoke to him and said, fear not, for that which is conceived in Mary is by the Holy Spirit. Mary was not afraid. She was never afraid. Mary knew that she was favored and that God was with her. She was inspired with knowledge that she was to give birth to the Christ child. And she kept those things secret at first, pondered them in her heart, and then she magnified the Lord. Mary was at peace, filled with compassion and love. For she believed that Holy Spirit had come upon her and the power of the Most High would protect her. Mary had been told that the child to be born would be holy and would be called the Son of God. Now, there's some more drama to this story. Always. In those times, women who were considered to be adulterous were stoned. Mary could have been stoned to death. It was not only custom, but it was the law at that time. However, there was a divine will for baby Jesus to come forth. And that was that it was greater than any harm that could ever come to Mary and this holy infant. Even when in the Bible they talk about King Herod, who wielded so much power over the Jews at that time, sent his murderous army to go forth and kill the firstborn son during the year of Jesus' birth. But that baby still survived. Herod, which according to the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary means the ruling will of the physical, our ego consciousness. And this ruling ego does not understand man's true origin. It is narrow. What it understands is jealousy and destructiveness. Under its rule, man does not fulfill the law of his being. But because Joseph heard a small inner voice right at the precise time, which said, arise, Joseph, and go to Bethlehem. And Joseph listened. That baby represented the power of love, which was greater than Herod's power, ego power. And the prophecy, as told to Mary by God, was to be fulfilled. For all involved, it was fulfilled for all of us, despite Herod. More problems for Joseph and Mary. When they finally arrived in Bethlehem, there was nowhere to stay. But still, Mary and that baby survived. so many obstacles and dangers to overcome, according to the story. Under normal circumstances, neither would have survived. Neither would have made it. It was unheard of to survive during those times, given what they were faced with and the circumstances. But how could that have happened? It happened, again, because this baby, this holy infant, this power, this Christ ideal that is in each of us had to come forward. It had to come forth. It was coming, and nothing could stop it. Nothing did stop it. This child represented love, the most powerful attribute of God. And despite all the challenges that Mary and Joseph had to overcome, despite all the man-made laws, despite all the customs, despite Herod's army, despite all the odds, nothing could stop the coming of this child. This divine child, represented by the baby Jesus, overcame it all. So remember, of all the attributes of God, love is undoubtedly the most beautiful and the most powerful. So let's think about this. If God's love is so powerful and could overcome so much, the pure essence of being that binds together the human family, why do we so often withhold love from one another? Why do we so often withhold love from ourselves? Why do we withhold love when we're most challenged? Why do we withhold love from those we are closest to? Why do we withhold love when we are going through tough times, painful times, challenging times, faced with stuff that is emotionally draining? Why do we tend to withhold it then? Keep that question in mind, because I'm going to come back to that. I'm going to turn to talking about family and relatives right now. You know, this is the time of year when we are bombarded by the commercialism of the season. Pretty people always smiling on TV commercials, spending, overbuying, attending festive parties, giving and receiving big expensive gifts, everybody laughing and getting along and loving each other on television or that Hallmark movie channel, running those endless Christmas movies, everybody happily decorating the tree, drinking hot chocolate, offering those cute little Christmas cookies every 5 minutes, and finding true love, a new man or a new woman, all while discovering the true meaning of Christmas at the same time. Frankly, I'm about to overdose on hot chocolate watching these movies, because comes up, they offer someone a cup of hot chocolate, I go get a cup of hot chocolate. 10 minutes later, somebody else, you want some hot chocolate? I go get a cup of hot chocolate. By the end of the movie, I've had about 5 cups of hot chocolate. And, you know, the power of suggestion. And then, of course, when I look at them at night, I get something different than hot chocolate. Neither are good. But we know this is not reality. It is exactly what they advertise it as, a made-for-TV movie. In fact, for many people, this can be a very stressful time, a sad time, a depressing time. This is the time of year that if you have lost loved ones, family members or friends, it can bring up a lot of memories and feelings of grief and sad emotions. But let's bring it back to our family right now as well. Again, why do we withhold love sometimes from our own family members and relatives? This is to whom we do it. I'm not talking about withholding kindness or compassion or empathy from people that we're not that close to. Because quite frankly, that's easy. Strangers are easy to get along with, to love spiritually, to love in the ideal. But to be honest, it's family, friends, and coworkers, close acquaintances, that pose the most challenges in our being loving. And displaying that Christ ideal, which is in each of us, That's the most challenging. The people you know and interact with frequently, those close to you, whom you have invested the most in, invested time, invested energy, understanding, your feelings, invested your money, work with, been patient with. We haven't invested that with people we occasionally interact with. We've invested that with those who are closest to us. And divine love is about our behavior towards them, no matter what is going on in our life. As I mentioned before, Christmas holidays can be challenging with so many responsibilities and expectations, both self-imposed and imposed by others. Financial issues, getting everything done on time. Also, again, the memories of loved ones no longer with us, or past hurts or disappointments that reemerge during the holidays. These feelings and these thoughts can be particularly acute at this time and can depress our energy, affecting family and loved ones that are with us now. This is a time for patient love, with a focus on patience, empathy, and love for yourself. Let go of the worry about unrealistic expectations and demands of others. Be patient. Be peaceful and loving first with yourself, and then with your family, with your relatives, with close friends. Remember, you didn't pick your family or relatives. God picked those relatives as a constant reminder of lessons on love. We want to keep that in mind. When reading the Gospels, we learn that Jesus spent much of his time healing the sick. And those stories of healing miracles that Jesus performed were a metaphor for symbolizing the healing that must take place within each one of us. The people Jesus healed symbolize those parts of their soul that were blind and could not see the glory of God, that were crippled and could not walk in Christ, that were hungry and needed to feed on the Word of God. But our spiritual development depends on more than just the healing of our minds and bodies, for it is also the healing of our soul that leads to the spiritual enlightenment and gaining the peace, faith, and love in our lives. If you think of your soul as the sum of your consciousness, the sum of your consciousness, meaning it is comprised of all your conscious and unconscious thoughts and experiences, you can then understand the magnitude that the work must be done, not only in mind and body, but in your soul as well. When you are frightened, ill, troubled, even irritable, it is an indication that parts of your soul are frightened, ill, troubled, irritated. And often, this is difficult for others to detect because on the surface, you may look just fine. Nothing, no problem, smiling like on those TV commercials and those Christmas movies, but underneath, deeper for many, there is something else going on. Something that is really deeper than the job, deeper than the finances, deeper than troubled relationships, deeper than the backache or the chest cold or whatever physical ailment is being experienced. Something deeper than what appears to be going on in just your body and your mind. Now, this is key to understand because we tend to focus our fears and concerns on the outer, on physical things that are troubling us. But your attention to those outer ailments and challenges is what has kept you from focusing your attention on what truly needs to be healed, the healing of your soul. So how do we be about the task of healing our soul? What can we do to help ourselves and each other to move along a spiritual path to wholeness during this holiday season? Butch tells us frequently, most Sundays, our challenge is to consistently practice applying spiritual principles in all our interactions with each other, with every person in our life, especially when being chased by the Herods in our life. Your ego thoughts being chased by an ego consciousness. So the spiritual principle we will practice this week is allowing the power of love, the love of God, to flow through us to the people in our lives. And in order for the love that God is to be expressed through us, there must be a willing instrument. And guess who that willing instrument is? You. Cannot be escaped. The purpose of this Advent journey is to come to the realization that we are the instruments through which faith that God is, the peace that God is, the love that God is to be expressed. We make the choice to give love to each other, or we make the choice to withhold our love from each other. It is always your choice. Can't escape that. It's always your choice. And we must learn to choose consciously, being fully aware of the impact our choices have, not only on our own soul, but on the soul of others. You see, not only are we making choices about whether or not we will give the healing power of love to another, but we are at the same time making choices about whether or not we will allow this power of love to flow through ourselves, to heal our own body, to heal our own mind, to heal our own soul as well. So in essence, if we choose to not give to others, at the same time we are choosing to not give to ourselves. And vice versa, if we choose to not give to ourselves, we don't have any love to give to others. In Luke 4:23, Jesus said, "Physician, heal thyself." A physician is a person who heals or exerts a healing influence. Unity teaches that I cannot heal you with love if I have not healed myself with love. If I do not first heal myself by allowing the love of God to flow through me, flow this instrument, I will have no love to give to you. I cannot be a good physician to you if I am not a good physician to myself. And we must realize that we must choose to be a powerful spiritual physician, dispensing the powerful medicine of love to save our own lives as well as saving the lives of others in our families, in our communities, at the same time. If not, we are being disingenuous because we are refusing to allow the love of God to flow through us. This year, as a part of your Advent journey, you will make better choices because you understand now the significance of the impact your choices have on healing your own soul. In summary, the wise men were led by inspiration to the birthplace of the Christ child, where they honored him with gifts and celebrated his birth. This Christmas, give the gifts that the wise men have already given to the Christ child in you. Give the gifts that the wise men have already given to the Christ child in you. Give the gift of love to others. If you can't give anything else, you can give that, the most powerful healing gift in the world. And so it is. God bless you and have a merry, loving Christmas and a happy, prosperous New Year. God bless you.